The Lord be with you. The Hopi tribe are a people who live in northeastern Arizona, and they have a proverb that goes like this: those who tell the stories rule the world. Those who tell the stories rule the world. The Hopi understand that stories have power. Stories have power to tell us who we are. Stories have power to shape the world we live in. And when you think about your life is really a story or a collection of stories that have built you into who you are over time. You think of the stories your parents told you growing up about what's right and wrong, about what's good and true and beautiful and worthy. You heard stories from culture about what success looks like, about how to fit in school, about how to behave, how to speak. These stories have shaped who we are. And we hear stories from ourselves telling us if we're good enough or not good enough, if we're smart or if we're not intelligent or whatever the story might be. And then there are stories people tell about us, that this is what a refugee is like, or this is what a pastor is like and how a pastor should act. We're all shaped by these stories that we hear and that we tell ourselves. Stories are really the skin that we live in. There's no life without stories. And stories are always competing. They're always fighting for power and control over our lives. Which story will be true of us? Some stories make us smaller and more afraid, but other stories make us larger and braver and freer. This reading we heard from Acts is about a new chapter in God's story. And this new chapter has the power to reshape the world. But this story, this new chapter in God's story, finds itself on a collision course with some very powerful men. And these powerful men are the ones who usually get to tell the story. They're the ones who say what's true and not true. If you remember, the Sanhedrin is the ruling council in Jerusalem. It's a group of 71 of the most powerful men in the city, the priests, the elders, the teachers of the law, the scribes. And this group of men have dedicated their lives to God's story, to a true and powerful story, the story of God and God's chosen people, Israel. And a man named Stephen is also dedicated to the same story. If you have your Bibles open, just turn back one page to Acts chapter 7, just before our reading. Just before our reading, Stephen tells a story to the Sanhedrin. It's this story of God and God's people from Genesis through the prophets. If you look closely, you'll see Stephen is quoting the scriptures again and again. Genesis, Exodus, 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 Deuteronomy, Amos, Isaiah. Stephen is telling a story, the story of God and God's people. And the Sanhedrin, they know this story. It's the same story they believe. It's a story of God's faithfulness, God's salvation. But it's also a story of Israel's resistance, Israel's sinfulness. They all know this story. But Stephen adds a new chapter to God's story. And this new chapter changes everything. It's already changed Stephen's own life. And it has the power to change the Sanhedrin, and to change Israel, and to change the world. Now the Sanhedrin, they see this. They see that this story has power. And so they're afraid. And they resist God's plan. They cover their ears and scream at the top of their lungs. They don't want to hear what Stephen has to say. And Stephen says, "You stubborn people, you won't obey. You did what your ancestors did long ago. You always oppose the Holy Spirit." They're proving Stephen's point. They are closed off to this new chapter in God's story. These men who are supposed to be the most wise and the most just are overcome with fear and anger. The Sanhedrin see something at the center of God's story, the law and the temple. The law and the temple. This story was carved in stone tablets. You remember the Ten Commandments. And this story has been built in stone blocks into the temple. And this story says that the priests and the teachers are the most important people in Israel. And this story says that God lives here in the temple and nowhere else. It's true, God is present in the temple, but God is no prisoner of the temple. We've heard that from prophets like Ezekiel and Isaiah. And Stephen tells this side of the story, the prophetic side. He says, "But the Most High God does not live in a house made by human hands. The God we worship is living and free and on the move." And then Stephen makes a radical new claim that the blameless one, God's chosen Messiah, has come. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth. And this Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law. It was once written on stone, but now it's written on human hearts by the Holy Spirit. And this Jesus is God's new temple, the place where God dwells and meets with his people. This Jesus perfectly lives out the law. This Jesus is the great high priest himself. This Jesus is the perfect sacrifice who's offered for the sins and the rebellion of Israel. This Jesus is where God has chosen to live. And if that story is true, this new chapter in God's story, everything changes. And the Sanhedrin know this. The teachers know that if Jesus has perfectly fulfilled the law, they're out of a job. And the priests know that if this Jesus is the great high priest and the one true and final sacrifice, they're out of a job too. And so they're afraid, and they're scared, and their fear turns to anger, and their anger turns to violence. You remember that stories are the skin we live in. Stories tell us who we are. And when those stories that shape us change, our lives begin to shift. And that's a scary feeling. We feel unsettled. We're not sure what's next. And I wonder if that's what the Sanhedrin are feeling. I wonder if they're afraid. Because the Sanhedrin understand that if Stephen's story is right, then the house they've built their lives on might just crumble. Now, if I was a member of the Sanhedrin, I'd be afraid too. And I don't think the Sanhedrin are evil, wicked men. No. They are trying to do God's will. They've been entrusted to steward God's law and to take care of God's temple. They're trying to protect God's house, to protect God's rules, which is why they're so afraid and so angry. They believe they must protect God. And that's the mistake they make. It's the same mistake humans always make. It's the same mistake that Adam and Eve made in the garden when they took the fruit from the tree. It's the same mistake that Israel made at the foot of Mount Sinai when they made a golden calf to be their God. It's the same mistake we make whenever we put our trust in something other than God, when we think we need to control God. There's a fancy name for that. Idolatry. Idolatry. You see, the Sanhedrin have put their trust in the temple, a house made by human hands. They believe that the rituals of the temple are the only way to God. They risk confusing God's house with God's presence. And these are not the same. William Childs Robinson was a professor of church history. And he preached a bold sermon one Sunday. He got up and said something like this: "I don't believe in the Bible, but I believe in the God who speaks through the Bible. I don't believe in the sacraments. I believe in the God who comes to us through the sacraments. I don't believe in the church. I believe in the God who is alive and at work in the church." His point is that we can't confuse the gifts of God with God himself. We can't confuse the gifts of God with the God who gives those gifts. Treasure is kept in clay jars. And we have this treasure of the good news in our earthly bodies. This shows that the mighty power of the good news comes from God. It doesn't come from us. Friends, the treasure is not ours to own and to protect. The treasure belongs to God. The treasure is God. The temple was a clay jar. It was a beautiful, holy, and good vessel. But it was not the same as the treasure. The true treasure is God's living presence. And Stephen has found this treasure. This treasure has changed his life forever. The Holy Spirit has been poured into Stephen, and he's set free to tell this good news, to share this new chapter in God's story. And this story is rebuilding Stephen We heard a couple weeks ago that Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Stephen began waiting on tables, taking care of the widows, you remember? But God had other plans for Stephen. And now Stephen is telling the story with boldness. And so even though Stephen stands before powerful men, Stephen's not afraid. The Spirit gives him courage to tell the story of what God is building through Jesus Christ. And even as Stephen faces a brutal death, he sees that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God. And so he's bold to speak the story. But the Sanhedrin, they can't see it. They're blinded by their fear and their anger. And so they take up words and stones, and they try to tear Stephen down, to tear his story down, to show that it's not the true story, that they are still the storytellers. And it seems like that's the end, that the Sanhedrin have won the day. It seems like it's all over for Stephen and the church. Stephen is dead. The church in Jerusalem is scattered across Judea and Samaria. The believers flee as refugees away from Jerusalem. Friends, I don't know what stories you're telling yourself these days. I don't know what stories are shaping your life. I don't know what stories are closing you in or making you afraid. I don't know if you feel like your life is in pieces, or if you feel scattered in every way, or if you feel like your story is at a dead end and there's nothing to be hopeful for. I don't know where you're at today, but I want to tell you about a God who knows exactly what to do with the pieces of our lives. I want to tell you about a God who is in the business of rebuilding, of making things new again. Years later, a disciple that Jesus called Rocky said this: "You also are like living stones. So as you come to Christ, you are being built into a spiritual house." Our God knows what to do with the pieces. And we see this God rebuilding the church. You know, we think the church is finished, they've been scattered. But it's not the end, it's just the beginning. God is taking these scattered pieces to build a church that will reach from one end of the Roman Empire to the other. God knows what to do with the pieces. And we see this God rebuilding in the quiet character of this story, a young man named Saul. We think Saul is putting an end to the church. He goes from house to house, attacking Christians, throwing them in prison. But God has a plan, and he will take Saul and tear him down in order to rebuild him, to build his church. God knows what to do with the pieces. And we see this above all in the resurrection of Jesus. We see it in his death, his new life, his humiliation, and his exaltation. We see that Christ is at the right hand of God. This God knows what to do with the pieces. Listen to what theologian Willie Jennings says. No matter how hard they are thrown, the stones cannot separate Stephen from God. Nor can any stone, no matter its velocity, its surprising angle, or its accuracy in hitting our vulnerable places. No stone can ever separate us from God. Amen? So friends, if you feel scattered or in pieces, keep looking up to see what Stephen saw, that Christ is at the right hand. Keep looking to the master builder, because this God wants to take your life, to rebuild it again into something new and beautiful for the good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.